Well, everyone, and welcome back to the Trek Podcast. Join Ghost TV on this beautiful Saturday, May 27th. It is Memorial Day weekend, and I hope that you're well remembering those who have passed away because of war, because of different things that have happened in our country. So to all the families out there, may God bless you, and thank you for all that you and your family have done for freedom. But talking today about the idea of letting go of the golden handcuffs, Shout out to my friend Cliff that did a similar podcast just a couple hours ago. And so thank you for that inspiration. And his podcast got me thinking about my golden handcuffs. The idea, by the way, of golden handcuffs is being in a wonderful job or place or, normally a career that is golden, and yet you feel like there are handcuffs around you. And you know that you have to move on, and yet those golden handcuffs, kind of like the golden, what is this called? Cuffs, right? Handcuffs? No, not handcuffs. I forget what those are called. That you wear in a suit. Cuffs, I guess, right? They look so good on you, and so you have a hard time letting go. I think I went through that. I know I did. I went through a difficult time letting go of what used to be in my life, my golden handcuffs, the thing that I thought really was the only way that I could make a living, that I could truly be happy or to fulfill my God-given purpose in life. But I'm realizing that there are many ways that a person can do that. My mom, I think, well, I know, has been the greatest advocate of that for me since day one. She has always been someone who's told me that you can be a minister and a minister of the gospel anywhere you go, wherever you go. She did that through education, my father-in-law through church ministry and consulting, my wife as an educator, a principal, a teacher, and my father did that as a nonprofit director and a pastor. So there are many ways that a person of God, a person of faith who feels called to ministry can accomplish their God-given adventure. And I'm realizing the same thing. I have done so many things in so many contexts that at times it is hard to let go of the golden, not so much the golden egg, because there's not exactly a lot of money in ministry, but the golden handcuffs, the idea that it has to be done a certain way. And maybe you're in a similar place where for you it's not ministry, but it is maybe your training, what you did for the first half of your life for 10, 15, 20 years. And you know there's something more. You know that there is this new expression of that same calling. And you're afraid. You're afraid financially, calling, purpose, transition. You're afraid. You're perhaps struggling with leaving your current situation because of safety, security, identity, questions you may have about what am I going to do now. But yet there's this drive, this compulsion, this purpose inside of you that is waiting to come out, a new expression of the same calling. And that's exactly what I've been doing, and it's not easy. It is a back and forth in many ways. It is a struggle because you're shedding so much safety in some ways, and yet, as in my case, it's not exactly very safe to be in the same place for many years or in the same career because, as it happened to me, things change, things die, things shrink, things move forward, and sometimes without you. And so it's better to, in some ways, take control of your life and to trust God with your life, because being in the same thing, in the same situation, could be disobedience. It doesn't always mean that you're obeying God just because you're safe. God might be in the risk. God might be in the panic, in the fear. I feel that most times God works through fear. He works in spite of fear. He works to give you courage in light of fear. And yet most of us, myself included, we run away from the fear towards the safety, even if it is a golden handcuff. And even if it is a bronze handcuff or a dirt handcuff, we think that that's better than trusting God because it's uncomfortable. When I went from full-time ministry and full-time worship and full-time lead pastoring to this mosaic life, as my father-in-law, rest in peace, my dear Dad Baker, would call it, the security, the safety net was pulled out from under me. He was right. He went through it right around the same time I went through it in his late 40s, early 50s. He went from being the pope of a denomination, the head honcho, the general director of a very established and you could say well-known and perhaps successful denomination to being a consultant to helping different churches, to joining forces with some of his friends to start their own consulting business. And so he knew the struggle of that, going from a steady salary and a steady paycheck to this mosaic life of making things up, of meal piecing your income and bringing home the bacon piece by piece. And so he never warned me against it. He would just tell me that. He would ask me, are you sure? Are you ready for that? And I kept saying yes. And of course I was lying, because who is ready for that? I don't know. Maybe some people who really have a lot of faith or who love risk, but I don't have either of those. I have little faith when it comes to this area, and I am risk averse. I love safety. And so I'm more intrapreneurial than entrepreneurial. I like to go into an established place and making it flourish than to risk it all and start from scratch and that kind of stuff. So it hasn't been easy. I keep wanting to go back to Egypt, back to safety, back to what I know, back to what in some ways is safe in my mind, but is probably not as safe as I think it is. Maybe even as me as I think it is. And moving towards these new areas that are calling me, that the need, where the need is there. In some ways, this idea of a Macedonian call comes to mind. If you know the story where Paul is on his way, I think away from Ephesus, and then he has this Macedonian call from an angel that represented the area of Macedonia, which I think is modern-day Greece, if I'm not mistaken. And even though he was on his way out of town, this angel, this image, this vision told him, please come help us because we're dying without you, or we're dying without help. And so Paul changed his plans and went forward to Macedonia. And he planted more churches and had an amazing success, and many lives were changed. In many ways, that's what's happening to me, and that's what happens to all of us, many of us, at this midlife era or season, is there is our plan and our safety and what we've always known, the golden handcuffs, and then there is this calling. I don't think it can just be convenience. We can't just move on because of convenience. It's not convenient. It is inconvenient to move on. It is inconvenient to risk it all. It is inconvenient to make less money, to have less safety, to go through more struggles. It is not convenience. It has to be calling. It has to be a vision. It has to be something in your gut, something visceral, something just cellular, you could say, that it's just an emotion, a calling, a passion, a crying out for your help. Every time that I see young people, I feel this crying out for help. Every time that the other day I was in a classroom and I was just being kind to the classroom, even though the classroom was kind of out of control, and even teachers around me had been warning me, saying, hey, if you need help, just let me know, because they're kind of crazy in there. And yeah, it was tough, but I was calm, I was patient, I was kind. And at the end, one of the girls who was one of the culprits, she said, why are you so positive to us? Why are you so kind? And I was able to share a little bit of my story. And in many ways, that was a mini Macedonian call. Kind of one of those moments where I thought, this is amazing. Another day, that same week, the director of a program at the school where I'm at just came up to me and said, you know, I really would like for you to pursue this one area, this one thing he had talked to me about a few weeks ago. And he said, I want to talk to the principal and blah, blah, blah. And he was just advocating for me. I have no idea if that's going to happen. But in some ways, that he represents ELD students, English Learner Development, I believe. Basically, high schoolers who've been here in the country for a year or two and don't speak the language. And I was with him for a week, maybe two, and I loved it. And he saw that, and so he's advocating for me to get a job in that area. And it's not up to him, but he is willing to advocate to the principal for me. And the same thing, I feel like this is not convenient. It is not convenient to shift, to change things, to not do what you have always done. It is inconvenient to start all over again, to start from the bottom, to have done such crazy things these last 6 months to prove myself as an educator. And yet there's this, I'm not going to say it's an angel or it's some vision from God, but there are these moments where I feel that God keeps saying, come over here, son, I have something beautiful for you. And these people need you. It's not about salary or position or title. If anything, I'm nothing. I don't even have an office anywhere. I don't have a title. My car is falling apart because I'm driving to these really rough parts of town, and it's not exactly Newport Beach where I'm serving, but it's this sense of there's a need, and I can in many ways help. And maybe I am not the only one, but I am the one who perhaps, I don't know for sure, the one called for this time, for such a time as this, to serve and to help these individuals who in many ways represent me at that age when I was 16, 17, 18, 19, and I was completely lost, not so much with language, but with many other things. And so, of course, I identify with these young people and with their journey. And maybe that's why God is calling and God is opening doors and God is saying, come over here, young man, son of mine. I want to bless them through you. And that's something maybe that is the biggest shift, at least for an Enneagram 3, that is happening in me. It's not about running away from fear. It's not about my status or my ambition or my title or any of that. It's not about that. It's about serving other people. I'm not saying that in my first life I made it all about me, but in some ways I did, because that's kind of the season that you're in. You're climbing. You want to get to the top of your career, of ministry, of your abilities, and really prove to yourself that you are amazing and do it all in the name of God, in the name of the church, and a lot of great things happened. But when you go through a kind of an atonement season, a time of failure and of disappointment on maybe, yeah, your first half of life, and nothing crazy, but certainly, yeah, I felt that maybe that time was over, or perhaps that drive or that ambition maybe is what needed to be gone. New things have appeared, new wrinkles in the same calling. I am serving at Victory Outreach right now. Just shout out to my beautiful church. It's not rich millennials with kiddos. It's not hipsters that travel to Brooklyn or live in cool parts of town. These are young men and women who are broken and who worship with abandon because of their need for help. These are churches that need so much, and we've never done so much for so little financially. We volunteer, and yet I think I kind of burnt out on doing so much. And so we're taking a little break. But the point is that these are the places where the need is. And it's not some missions trip. It's not this thing of I want to save people or change the world. It's really just a calm sense of purpose and of identifying me in them and thinking, I think I have the gifts to help these young people. And to support my pastor, to support the team, to lead worship and teach and preach and to disciple, all the things that I love to do. And then as far as education, to then be with these young people that are the same, that are in need, that have maybe a need for mentors and for parents, for opportunities, for males like myself that have succeeded, quote unquote, in education and life, to talk to them about morals and godliness and not using bad language and Christian hip-hop and in a obviously educational, professional way to be an example of Christ to them. And so I don't know. There's just these things. I love the church. I love what the church does. It's always going to be a part of who I am forever. I'm a minister of the gospel of the good news of Jesus Christ. No matter where I go, no matter if I'm playing a guitar or if I'm writing on a whiteboard in high school, it doesn't really matter. If I'm making disciples in church or at a school, it's about the gospel. I'll close with this story. So I've led worship, obviously, for many years. It's one of the biggest passions of my life. And then the last few years, I've had the joy to produce a lot of music, mostly Christian hip-hop. And so just yesterday, I was going back to my classroom, and these two young people, I think maybe 10th, 11th graders, were playing guitar and singing right outside my classroom. And so at first, I just thought, I don't want to be that guy and go and sit in and maybe play. But I thought on the way back, I thought, you know, I'll just join in, right? And so I sat there and listened, and they were good. And then I said, hey, let me play something. I played it, and they were just in awe and wow. And we exchanged information, and perhaps we'll record or we'll work on something. But it was just one of those beautiful moments where I felt like my 2, 3, 4 worlds were all coming together. My heart for the gospel, music, mentorship, being with these young people that are skilled, not in the church, and being able to bring whatever I may have to them. And then the second example was I was just watching my dear church there serving at an event this weekend. And there's a bunch of young people there, this revival weekend event. Shout out to VO, DTSA, Downtown Santa Ana. And I was supposed to play at this event, and it just wasn't the right time. So I saw the videos, and there's a bunch of young people, and I saw a young man playing guitar, and I thought, you know, that could have been me. But what was awesome is that the team sounded great. The church, I think it was maybe 5, 6, 7 churches that came together. It all looked amazing. And I thought, I wasn't there, but that is my church. That's where I could have been. And look at that. The lights, the music, the revival, the preaching, young people everywhere, dancing, shouting, just rejoicing. I thought, what a privilege that not only could I have been there, but even beyond that, that's my church. Those are the people that I love. And I thought, what a privilege that on one hand, I can be a mentor to two young people there at a high school in LA. And then on the other hand, I can be with a beautiful church full of, again, young people that are amazing musicians serving God in the church at this weekend revival. What an amazing, amazing life. And I thank God for it. And that's the reward, I guess, or I guess maybe that's the reason why you may need to leave behind the golden handcuffs and consider your second act, your next step, and to stop being afraid and run towards the fear, run towards the risk, run towards the scary monster that really isn't even there. I'm not saying it's not scary. I'm not saying that there weren't times that I felt anxious, depressed, and just completely lost in this transition. Absolutely. But I can tell you now, as I emerge and as I come out of that and I come into this new season, that this is amazing. And the sense of purpose and joy and really of less effort. I'm not trying to be anything. I'm not working to climb some ladder. It's very rewarding. And whatever God may have, I hope to sing all over the world. I hope to produce music that will touch the world in Spanish and English. I hope to be a mentor to high schoolers and college students in the education system in schools. I hope to preach the gospel and to make disciples of Jesus Christ. I hope to lead worship and create beautiful music for Jesus for the rest of my life with the plugins, the 1073, the U87, and the CL1B, and the 2A, and the 1076 that I have and I own. And all the great stuff that we've done together. That's a bunch of compressors, by the way, and microphones and preamps. But I guess to maybe wrap this up, don't be afraid. Run towards the fear. The golden handcuffs are great. And they can provide a lot of awesome things. I mean, after all, they are golden. But are they handcuffs? Maybe they're not. Maybe they're liberating to you. But are your handcuffs... Are your handcuffs too tight? Is it time for you to shed the pain of those handcuffs for a new handcuff? Because remember, we're slaves to Christ. But these are handcuffs that God wants for you, and he doesn't want those old ones anymore. And he is inviting you to trade in your sorrows for the joy of the Lord. That's what's happening to me, and I thank God for that. And if you need help with this transition, which is not easy, filled with demons and fears and darkness and a lot of dark clouds, absolutely, but there is a light at the end of the tunnel. If you need help, reach out to me, davidtrigg.com/coaching. Follow me on Instagram at davidtrigg. You can click on my bio, and there's a link to my schedule, and we can schedule a call to help you through your own transition from the golden handcuffs to a new place in your life. Let's talk. Let's set up a call this summer. I have time, so let's get going. davidtrigg.com/coaching, and let's get going. Thank you again for being here, and I will see you next time. Adios. Don't like the way I am. Why don't you fix me?